On this episode of Dial the Cosmos, I'm going to be talking about words, the words that you use, the words that you have to represent yourself. And sometimes you may hear me trip over my words because my thinking doesn't come in at the same speed as the words that come out of my mouth. So it's a very interesting subject, and I think a lot of you may be able to gain something from listening to this particular episode of Dial the Cosmos. I'm Dominic Zenden, if I can say it. I actually work in lots of different areas. I'm primarily an aura profiler, but I'm also very interested in the psychology of how we are and who we are and what we do. And a lot of that psychology includes how we behave, how we think, how we do things to actually further ourselves or to help others. Psychology is an interesting subject in itself when it comes to who we are. And you may listen to a few of the interviews that we do with various people and listen to the different dynamics of the conversation, because everybody brings their own personality, their own beat to an interview. And the words that people use on the interview are, for me, quite fascinating. And I'm going to let you into a few little insights about how I think about things when I'm thinking over some of the questions that I'm going to ask people. Because normally, most of the interviews that I do are thought out. I do go and look at the person that I'm talking to. But also, when they come up with little gems of knowledge or little statements that need a little bit more, I'm quite often spontaneous, and I think as they're speaking, and I know the sort of thing that I need to ask, because they're the things that I would want to ask if I was listening to that person talking. One of the biggest things that I get with some of my guests are those that say to me, "That's a good question." Well, the psychology of "that's a good question" is quite interesting. It is about buying time to think of how to answer it. And as soon as I hear someone say to me, "Oh, that's a good question, Dominic," all I think of is, "Yes, but you don't know the answer, do you?" Or you're having to throw it back to me because you're not quite sure what to say at this point. And that really opens up a brand new sort of area for me to think about how to interview that person, because there's no set point where you set a question or you set a level to where somebody's going to talk to you. But the important part of an interviewer is to be on the same level as the person you're talking to. Because if you're not, what's going to happen is you're going to get to a stage where all you're going to get back is, "That's a good question. What do you think?" Which isn't really the point of talking to somebody. It's not really where that interview should be. So let's go back, and let's go back to how you first started to understand words. And the vocabulary that you have right now really is an indication of who you are around and what influences you as a person. The first influences that you had on your life were the people that brought you up. Often parents, but can be people that are detached from us genetically. But on the whole, our parents are the first people that we learn of. The words that we use can be idealistically suited to them and to their lifestyle and to the way that they are. And because we're learning off our parents, they're teaching us how to behave by the language that they're using to us. You know, how often have you heard newborn parents talk to their children in such a way where it feels really nice and connected, but doesn't make no sense? Or we're hearing words that are just nonsense words. Those words are going to be some of the first sounds that that child hears. The second part is the starting to grasp the body language and the intent and the tone of words, because how we actually use that and how we speak and the tone that we speak in really can send out signals to whether we are a calm, nervous, anxious, or a person that's panicking. So how we set out the words that we're saying and the speed that we say them and the information that we are partaking in is very telltale to who we actually are as people. So as a child, if you're around people that are anxious and difficult, you're going to pick up those traits and you might find that they transfer onto you. This transference is known as learnt behavior, and you are unconscious of learning things that you're behaving within. And that learnt behavior can be very difficult sometimes to shift, because on the whole, people that learn things unconsciously or as they go along won't realize that they can unlearn that stuff, that there's another way. How often do you hear of people talk about their childhood and say, well, my family was unique, it was different, it wasn't really your normal family, but I thought it was everything that there ever was, and everyone was like my parents. Well, that one thing I hear so many times when I'm talking to people in my other work life, and it's very unusual to hear people say, I've changed or I've altered some of my words because I didn't like how they were making me feel. Because the words that you use inside your mind are the words that will come outside of you. They're the words that you'll use when you're talking in conversation. So the words that represent you normally come out unconsciously. And it's very interesting to watch people come back to how they feel comfortable when they're in a group of people that are very similar to themselves. Take them outside of that group into a place where they're not comfortable with the people that they're talking with. You'll see their voices alter and change via the words that they're using. Now, we all use words in different ways, but there's a few words that we can actually put in, and you might hear it on podcasts or people that talk about subjects, and you will hear the thinking words, the ums, the ahs, the buts. They're all words that you can place into your vocabulary without even thinking about them, but when you listen back, they sound a lot worse than when you actually use them in, just say, a public demonstration when you're talking. If you don't realize that you're using these words or these little phrases, then it's a lot more difficult to change that. I think one of the most common uses of words are when you watch sports people being interviewed. And there was a very well-known interview with a very famous footballer who was always using, do you know what I mean? And that phrase can be very aggravating if you're watching it and you're aware that they're actually using it. Every three sentences, do you know what I mean? And you get to the point where you just want to take them and say, okay, let's remove that piece. Let's remove that question out of your vocabulary and then talk. There's other words like this. I notice there's people on TV, pundits, sports pundits especially, that use the word listen before they even start to speak. It's like saying, I'm the alpha here. I want you to listen only to me. I'm the only person. And you will hear this if you sit and you watch people in that interview environment. They will start a sentence with the word listen. It's very disconcerting when you all you want to do is to listen, but you don't want to be commanded to listen. You want to have the free will to listen. These are just a few of the examples of words that people use unconsciously through learned behavior and often peer groups. And that's the part where if you want to start to learn about how to think in a really conducive way to being spiritual or to being listened to, then always choose your words carefully, but the choice of words starts off with the way that you're thinking. Thinking and speaking are two of the same things. If you're thinking something in your head that's your private thoughts, that is how you will actually come across that particular subject. So, in other words, if you think you can do something or if you think you can't do something, you're going to be right because you're going to talk yourself in or out of it in that quiet thinking spot that is yours. The nature of positivity and using language in a positive way starts with when you first wake up in the morning thinking that you're going to have a great day. It's a simple affirmation that can be placed into a thought process, but just that one single little thought at the beginning of the day sets the day out in the correct way. So thinking about being able to do that every day without even a single waking thought about it, unconsciously, I'm going to have a great day, changes a lot of the dynamics of where you actually are. Remember, that first 10 minutes of each and every day can change how you see your day, which can change how your pattern of your life goes. And if you can get the patterns right in your life, if you can get the conversations right in your life with yourself, then the words that you're going to use within the people that you're meeting are going to be positive confirmations, positive of the way that you are as a person. Because instead of following some learnt behavior that maybe a parent was anxious or difficult, you're going to be starting to find your own personal identity. Now, personal identity is the next part of who we are. So if I was to say to you, tell me about yourself, you would say, well, this is what I do as a job. This is who I'm married to. These are my children, or something similar, because you'd be able to describe yourself by your association to the things that you are. How often do people just say, I don't really know who I am? Well, that actually comes in when we're confused and we don't really know where to go to find direction within our own personal identity. Now, personal identity can be as simple as the TV programs you watch, the books you may want to read, the films, the pop music or the music genre that you listen to. They are just simple examples of who you actually are. The next part of identity is knowing who you actually look up to. Now, again, you could look up to anybody in life, but we all need mentors. We all need people that are able to point us in the right direction of thinking the right way for us. That's not maybe the right way for them, but the right way for us. One of the nicest things that anyone can ever do to us is ask us, how can I help you? Or how can I help you understand who you are? Those things really matter, because when we start to understand who we are, then we can actually think about really where we concentrate our passions. And I don't know about you, but for me, the passion of being able to do things well is a top priority in my life. I want to be the best. I want to excel at the things I choose. And I won't excel if I'm choosing people I don't respect or enjoy being around. And part of a philosophy in life is to be able to find people that you may want to be aspiring to. You may want to be able to look at some of their routines, some of their things that they're thinking about in a very natural way. Or you may even want to go and see how they hold themselves on platform when they're talking, if they're making or doing public speaking, or if they're teaching people. Those sort of things is how we learn, but we're conscious of learning. We're deliberately setting out ourselves to learn about the words, the actions, and also the tempo of that person. In the next part, we will talk about how we can actually activate the perfect self. Welcome back to part two of Dial the Cosmos with me, your host, Dominic Zenden. We're talking about words, thinking words, and how we use language in our life to create new particular beginnings for ourselves or undo learned behavior from past situations. And if you had just been listening, what you would have understood that we left it with, how do you perfect the best person that you can be, the perfect self? Well, that's the first thing to accept, is that there is no perfect self. Your life changes, it alters, it reacts to the situations you're in, the circumstances, and will build into the person because of the people that you choose to be around. Now, we might not say that we choose everybody in our lives, but in a way we do, and in a way we don't. The people that we work with, well, we don't really have too much say over who they are, unless we decide to work for ourselves or to work in isolation. But what we can do is understand who people are well enough not to take too much notice of the negative thinkers. And you know the ones I mean. Every workplace has a negative thinker. And they've normally been in that job for probably over 10 years. And they all say, I'm going to leave. I don't want to be here. They don't treat me right. It's not a very good job. And those very sentences must be so familiar, because they never leave. They stay in the job. They just want to be heard verbalizing their thoughts, their anger that they can't change. Because the people that can change, the people that do change, aren't there. They're the ones living fulfilled lives or following their personal philosophies or their pathways, because they've realized that they're not being treated right, or they don't want to be in a place with people with negative thoughts, and they found other employment, they found other jobs. And certain types of personality are prone to being able to think very clearly about their position and not to be induced into what may happen. Because those thoughts of what may happen next is always a very containing, it's a very negative thought, isn't it? What will happen if? What will happen if I leave my job? Well, I'll start a new job. And what will happen if I don't get on in that new job? Well, I'll leave that job and I will start another job. Or you could actually say, well, I don't want to take that risk of having to keep changing. Now, that part of you in the way that you think is a vital part of your way of doing your life. When I first started work, I was 16. I was working in a book publisher's, just packing books to the customers. So when they brought them, I would be the person in the warehouse, checking the invoices, sending out the orders. In that particular place, and take it and bear it in mind, I was 16. It was a really interesting dynamic, because from school, where everyone is primarily the same age, into a working situation where you're dealing with people who are in their 50s, in their 20s, in their 30s. You're dealing with a cross-section of society. And I found that there was all types of people that I worked with at that time. And I did work with the difficult, negative people that would moan, almost because it was just a part of their vocabulary. But I also worked with a guy called Paul. Paul was in his early 50s, and he said to me, he said, look, Dom, it's very easy. The reason I do this job isn't because I have any ambition about where I'm going to become in life. I know my place where I am. But what I really want is to be able to do my job, go home without the thought of anything happening around that work in life. And I can do that here, because I have no responsibility, I have no worry, I can come in, I can pack books, I can go home, and I can spend time where I want to be with my family. My head is empty, I have no worries about my work, no responsibility. I can just enjoy life, and my main priority is to enjoy life. And at the age of 16, that's a really difficult statement to hear from somebody, because what he's saying to me is that maybe I should aspire just to have no worries, have no responsibility. And I've just come out of the school system where they're teaching you that you should be a leader, Our school motto was, I lead. And they're teaching you to be ambitious, motivated, to be a dominant force in the society that you live in. And all those thoughts are taught to you at a level where they're instilled into your mind. You're praised when you lead. You're praised when you win at sport. You're praised when you get top marks in an exam. And you're not really thought very much of if you don't obtain good results. So the whole learning structure of schools is geared up to actually put you into a place where you believe that you should be ambitious. And ambition, what is ambition? Ambition really is an illusion that we all are taught at a very early age. And Paul's attitude was totally the opposite to what I'd come across. Now, for me, I was trying to weigh it up. Do I want to go through the ranks? Do I want to go to the next level? Do I want to, you know, be ambitious and start to strive for things better than what I have? Or am I just accepting and fulfilled by other things? So the part of you that is accepting of who you are is a crucial part within your mind. Whether you think you are the best at what you do, if you think you're average, or whether you just think that you do what you do because it's what you do and it's an ends to a means, there is no real difference. It's what's inside. It's the thought process that's inside of you that makes the difference to who you actually become. So it really doesn't matter if you are a team leader or just in the team. You're part of the same organization. If you really want to excel, what we have to think about is what we're passionate about. And I know a lot of people that are passionate about a lot of things. You get people that are very passionate about spiritual development, very passionate about the job, you know, what they do and how they do it, very passionate about their football team or their sports or their collection of coins or something that is actually associated to themselves as a person. That passion is where you find your identity. Because when you find your passion and you find your identity, then you'll find people that have the same passion and similar identity. And that's how we start to form relationships with like-minded people. Miss that piece, and you will not find relationships with people that have the same vibration and frequency of thought as you do. So like-minded people are the first step into finding the way forward in your own personal life. As I said, I was put into a book warehouse at 16. It was like an ends to a means for me. But it was also something I didn't realize at the time. It was an education in understanding people. And an education in understanding people is something that we should all have. But no school teaches it. You have to go through university to understand philosophy and to understand how people think and what they do. And if you're not really into thinking outside of who you are, then that's not really going to be open to you. You're going to find yourself in environments with people that are nowhere like you, and you're having to get on with them, and you're having to cope with people that use negative words and positive words and figure out who is the best person to actually follow their lead. Of course, you can always lead yourself, but that's a lot more difficult when you're learning. When you're learning, we look for examples, and we still do as we get into adulthood. We look for examples of people who are public demonstrators of how we are, how we think, how we build relationships. Look at all the self-help books. You can walk into your local bookshop, and there's so many self-help books, all designed to give people a different alternative way of thinking that may help them find their purpose within what they do. When really, the purpose is in the words. It's within your language. It's in the way that you think. And the way that you think knocks on to how you talk and how you actually go across that. So let's just think about being you. Remember, there is no perfect version of you. You can be the best version of you, but the best version of you works better when the people around you are similar to you. And if you've actually gone through life and you've had different experiences in different organizations of people, then you will know it only takes one person to throw a whole situation out. So always look out to be in the best possible situations for you with the best possible people. Take notice of not those who shout the loudest, but those who actually listen and actually hear what you're saying. Because people that can reflect back to you what you are saying allows you to think about your behavior and your actions. Not necessarily for ambition, but just for the fact that if we can get on with people, we can choose where we go and what we do. If we don't get on with people, it limits some of our actions. There are a couple of things to look out for. For me, you may look out for jealousy. Jealousy is not an easy emotion to cope with. It can be very limiting. And again, you'll come across that within people, within life, and especially within the economy, within the society that we have. We have an economy on what people actually can obtain, where they live, what they do, how they dress, who they talk to, where they go to meet people and socialize. That part of life can be very distracting because you can get pulled into thinking, I want that lifestyle, or I want that lifestyle. And often those things that you really want are on the surface. They're not really deep down inside within how you are as a person. So the best person to look at for yourself is yourself. And the best person to get to know is yourself. So if you start to work out where you are, and quite often we will find ourselves being pulled into different areas when we're quite young, and we follow through with those areas. Now, who's to say that somebody who wants to be a train driver at 2 can't be a train driver because they've actually found their identity? I think the worst thing that we do as adults is drift without finding that personal identity that is who we truly are. And if we think about who we truly are, we would never let people put us into their boxes of what they want us to be, because they're not us. It's only you that can respond in the way that you are to any situation that occurs in your life. And so find your passions, find your joy, find the people that make you smile and that you enjoy being around, and find the things that you feel excited about. They really help. And if you're talking, watch how your lines are. Be very thoughtful about what you're saying. Be very considered. Have a little think about things before you say stuff. Have a little filter. That I know that if you have that little filter, so you think before you speak, it changes stuff, because the words that you say, once they've been said, they can't be brought back. You can't unsay something. They're always there. And I'm very much reminded about that when I listen back to some of my previous podcasts. All the words are still there, even some 2-3 years later. If you're interested in this subject, I will be doing some Zoom seminars about the way that we think, the way that we use affirmations, maybe, the way that we use learned behavior, and the psychology of words and language and how we use those. And if you're interested, get in touch with me at auraprofiling@gmail.com, or come and leave me a message on my website, which is dominiczenden.info. Until next time we speak, look after one another, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.